Ever wonder about questions that don't seem to have solid answers? Like, if God is so good, then why is there so much suffering in the world? Or why should we trust the Bible, and who wrote it anyway? Maybe you found the answers, but they didn't fully satisfy you. Well, welcome to Straight from the Bible, where you can find real answers from God's Word. Give us a call if something's on your heart. You can call us right now at 472-1111 or in the CNMI at 323-1113. You can also text or WhatsApp your questions to 671-686-9999. And now, Straight from the Bible.
Hafaday, good afternoon. Welcome to Straight from the Bible. We have Pastor Mar in the studios with us. Welcome, Pastor Mar.
Yes, I'm here ready for the question and answer straight from the Bible for 45 minutes. But before that, of course, let me give you some beautiful and powerful devotional entitled Praising God Within Our Disappointments. Shall we bow our heads for the word of prayer before we continue? Dear God and kind Heavenly Father, we thank you so much, Lord, for this opportunity that you have given to us where we can hear your words and enjoy listening to your words, O God, the Father, in this very moment. Bless all of us. Let the double portion of your wisdom and knowledge be upon us for us to be able to understand today's message. All these things we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Yes, praising God within our disappointments. All of us experience disappointments, right? And now, the good news is that we can still praise God within our disappointment. Today, we are going to learn two great lessons of life to remember and apply. The first one is we can still praise and worship God despite our disappointment. And the second one is to be able to do it, to cherish the giver more than any gift must be considered. Yes, let me bring your attention to the story of Job in Job chapter 1, verses 13 to 19. Now, the background is that Job's children and wealth are totally destroyed. One day, when Job's children were having a feast at the home of their eldest brother, a messenger came running to Job and said, "We were plowing the field with the oxen, and the donkeys were in a nearby pasture. Suddenly, the Sabaeans attacked and took them all. They killed every one of your servants except me. I am the only one who escaped to tell you." Before he had finished speaking, another servant came and said, "Lightning struck the sheep and the shepherd and killed them all. I am the only one who escaped to tell you." Before he had finished speaking, another servant came and said again, "Three bands of Chaldeans raiders attacked us, took away the camels, and killed all your servants except me. I am the only one who escaped to tell you." Before he had finished speaking, another servant came and said again, Your children were having a feast at the home of your eldest son. When a storm swept in from the desert, it blew the house down and killed them all. I am the only one who escaped to tell you." Then Job stood up and tore his clothes in grief. He shaved his head and threw himself face downward on the ground. Notice, he was deeply disappointed. He said, "I was born with nothing, and I will die with nothing. The Lord gave, and now he has taken away. May his name be praised." According to Job chapter 1, verse 21. Job did not hide his overwhelming grief. His emotion showed that he was human. He was like us, human being. Friends, God created our emotions, and it is not sinful or inappropriate to express them as Job did. If we have experienced a deep loss, a disappointment, or a heartbreak, admit your feelings to yourself and to your friends, to others, and grieve. Job had lost his possessions and family in this first of Satan's tests, but he reacted rightly toward God by acknowledging God's sovereign authority over everything God had given him. Satan lost this first round, and Job passed the test and proved that people can love God for who he is and not for what he gives. In spite of everything that had happened, Job did not sin by blaming God. He chose to worship God instead of blaming him. Job chose to praise God in the midst of his disappointment. He proved to us that people can still praise God despite disappointment. Yes, there are two major reasons why we can still praise and worship God in the midst of tragedy or disappointment. Number one, we may have lost almost everything in our lives, but we had not lost God. He is always there unless we chose not to have him. Number two, God is to be cherished more than all his gifts or anything else. Yes, instead of cursing God, as Satan had expected, Job praised God. When suffering comes our way, my friends, let us pray for God's grace to do the same. Job did not sin by charging God with wrongdoing, according to verse 22. Because to charge God with wrongdoing is in effect to curse God. God is never unjust and never wrong. Yes, we can question God. We can even argue with him, as Job later did. But we must never charge him with wrongdoing. He is always worthy of worship and praise in whatever strike of disappointments that comes in our lives. There are two great reflections to ponder. Number one, we worship the giver, not the gifts, like what Job did. God blessed him with a lot of things, but he never worshiped one of them. He only worshiped God, his ultimate giver, our great God, the gift giver. Number two, when we cherish the gift more than the giver, when we lost it, we blame the giver. Yes, we worship God because he is God. We worship God because he is our creator. We worship God because he is our redeemer. We worship God because he is our giver and not of what he gave. Yes, suffering and disappointments is always part of the lives of the worshipers. All God's children, including you, will experience it, and nobody is exempted. Jesus noted, "In the world, you will have affliction," according to John chapter 16, verse 33. Abel, who pleased God, was murdered by his own brother Cain. Noah, Abraham, Joseph, Moses, nearly all the prophets, and many other biblical figures suffered. Yes, as followers of Christ, believers routinely suffer, but God has a way of using it for his purposes. Every character in God's story serves a purpose, as do all characters in his story today, believers in Jesus. Joseph, after being sold into slavery and later sent to prison on false accusations, surely had endured enough for someone's life. At times, he must have felt like giving up. Then talk to Job in the middle of his story. 10 children dead. His body also covered with painful boils, feeling as if God abandoned him. And friends verbally attacked him. Job even says, "Why did I not die birth? Why did I not perish when I came from the womb?" According to Job chapter 3 verse 11. But Job also says, "God knows the way that I take. He tests me. I shall come out like gold," according to Job chapter 23 verse 10. And later on, Job remarks, "I heard of you, but now my eye had seen you." What a wonderful reaction of Job. For him, suffering and disappointments brings him closer to God. It helps him not just to hear about our God, but to clearly see God. Yes, God has used some of the worst things to accomplish some of the best. Best things happened in the life of Job after he experienced the worst. But the good things about him, about Job, is he still worshiped and praised God within his suffering and disappointment. The Bible said, "Then Job arose, tore his robe, and shaved his head, and he fell to the ground and worshiped," according to Job chapter 1, verse 20. He said, "I was born with nothing, and I will die with nothing. The Lord gave, and now he has taken away. May his name be praised," according to Job chapter 1, verse 21. What about us, my friends? What is our reaction toward God when disappointment strikes us? Can we praise and worship him within our suffering and disappointment? One of the authors said, "When we attempt to worship God, whose vastness and superiority are incomprehensible, he knows that the task is too big for us. But much of worship concerns wanting to please him. And I believe, according to the author, he loves us when we try." Yes, friends, just try. Just try. In conclusion, we can still praise God and worship him despite our disappointment. And secondly, to be able to do it, to cherish the giver more than any gift must be considered. Friends, if you still have hard time understanding your case and you think all the answers are still not enough to ease your pain, remember, there is Jesus. Yes, the song said, "You have faced the mountains of desperation. You have climbed, you have fought, you have won. But this valley that lies coldly before you casts a shadow you can't overcome. And just when you thought you had it all together, you knew every verse to get you through. But this time the sorrow broke more than just your heart. And reciting all those verses just won't do. Yes, when answers aren't enough, there is Jesus. He is more than just an answer to your prayer. And your heart will find a safe and peaceful refuge. Yes, when answers aren't enough, he is there. Yes, instead of asking why did it happen, think of where it can lead you from here. And as your pain is slowly easing, you can find a greater reason and to live your life triumphant through the tears." Yes, friends, when answers aren't enough, remember, there is Jesus. He is more than just an answer to your prayer. And your heart will find a safe and peaceful refuge. Yes, when answers aren't enough, he is there. Jesus is always there. Let me offer a prayer before we go to our question and answer portion. Shall we pray? Lord God in heaven, we thank you so much for reminding us that we can still praise and worship you in the midst of our disappointments. Help us, Lord, to be strong and be able to conquer any disappointments we are facing every day. Help us also to love more the giver than the gift. Give us the power to walk faithfully till you come. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you for that devotional, Pastor. You know what? In our midst of troubles and challenges, mm-hmm. you know, this devotion teaches us who to lean on and who to look to.
Yes.
The examples that you used in the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
Nice.
Wonderful.
Yes.
Yeah. The good news here is that we can still praise God,
mm-hmm.
you know, worship God.
Mm-hmm.
Within this disappointment that we have every day.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
I love it too.
We have a first question, Pastor.
Sure.
Would you like to hear it?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Our first question is, please help me understand, is salvation something we must fight to receive daily, or once saved, always saved? What's the assurance of salvation feel like, and how does one know when one is saved?
Yeah, by the way, the Bible is very, very clear in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 4 to 16. Oh, chapter 2, verses 4 to 10, I mean. Will you read it, please?
Yes, I can read it for you.
Sure.
That's Ephesians chapter 4?
Mm-hmm. Chapter 2.
Oh, chapter 2, sorry. Ephesians chapter 2. And what's the verse again?
Verses 4 to 10.
4 through 10. Okay, I can read it. Verse 4. But God, who was rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved. And hath raised up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the age to come he might show the exceedingly riches of his grace and his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast.
Mm-hmm.
For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them.
You know, part of the question is this word, we must fight to receive daily.
Oh.
Or one save. You know, you must fight, you know. Salvation, you really don't need to fight it for it. Because salvation is not belong to us, it belongs to God.
Oh.
Actually, he in verse 5, even when we were dead in sin, now the question is, does the dead person can fight? No way.
Right?
The dead person can't fight. So, the good news here, even though we're dead, God raised us up through his grace. In other words, we can only be saved through Jesus.
Amen.
Because Jesus is the source of salvation. And that's why the verse it said, for by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourself. It is the gift of God. You don't need to fight for that. You really didn't need to work for that. It is the work of Jesus. Yes, but the question is, probably, what's the assurance of salvation feel like, and how does one know when one is saved? By the way, here in verse 10, mm-hmm.
verse 10,
we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works. Take note of that word, good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. In other words, you can really feel that you're already saved. In other words, you have that great connection with Jesus if you are enjoying your walk with Jesus. You know?
Yes.
If you're enjoying your walk with Jesus, in other words, you're happy doing good things, doing great things, you're happy being faithful, that's an indication that you are saved.
Nice.
because Jesus is in you. So, you, by the way, again, you don't need to fight for that.
Oh.
Because Jesus will just do it for you. What you're going to do is just have Jesus, and Jesus will do it for you.
Amen. Thank you for answering that question. You know, with when I was first new walking with Jesus, I thought the opposite. I thought the bad was good and the good was bad. You know, now I know better, and I feel good when I do good things.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just like what you said, Jesus. Well, when you love Jesus,
naturally, you just do good things.
Right.
Yeah.
Amen. Thank you for answering that question, Pastor.
Okay.
All right. Question number two. The question is, in the Bible, it says all children will be accepted into heaven. I am a believer and lost a child and a niece that died at 8 and 17 years old. And she's asking, she's saying that she cannot find a verse on this.
Okay. This is a nice question. I like it. Mm-hmm. I like this. Okay. The first verse in Matthew chapter 19, verses 13 to 14.
Matthew chapter 19.
Mm-hmm. If you have your Bible with you, please open it in Matthew chapter 19, verses 13 to 14.
Matthew chapter 19, verses 14 through
chapter 19, verses 13 to 14.
Oh, sorry. 13 through 14. Sorry, my mind is faster than my typing. Okay, here we go. Verse 14. But Jesus said,
verse 13.
Oh, verse 13. Sorry. Yep. Like I said, my hand is faster than... Or my mind is faster than my typing. Okay, verse 13. Then where they brought unto him little children, that he should put his hand on them and pray.
Mm-hmm.
And the disciples rebuked them.
Mm-hmm.
Verse 14. But Jesus said, suffer little children and forbid them not to come unto me, for such is the kingdom of heaven.
Okay, look, the background is that here the parents tried to bring all their children to Jesus to be blessed by Jesus, and here's the disciples tried to allow the children to come closer to Jesus. Okay, they tried to rebuke these little children to come closer to Jesus, and here's the answer, the reaction of Jesus. He said, "Let the little children come to me, and do not forbid them, for of such is the kingdom of heaven." In another translation, the kingdom of heaven belongs to them. We don't need to worry about these little children.
Huh.
Because Jesus himself said, the kingdom of heaven belongs to them.
Yes.
Now, this is my concern. This is my recommendation. Try to to be worried of yourself, not the little children.
Right.
Okay? Because the little children, as Jesus said, the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven belong to them. Another verse in Acts chapter 17, verse 30, probably it will answer to the age 17, because it that died at 8 and 17 years old.
Mm-hmm.
So how can I find it? Because it's just 8 years old. Probably some children, they know already. But by the way, I got baptized when I was third grade.
Wow.
Yeah, that is probably 8 years old. Is that 8 years old? Eight and nine, right?
Yes.
Yeah, because I already know what is wrong and what is right.
Mm-hmm.
And I understand already the Bible. I can read the Bible. And sometimes, by the way, I gave Bible study to some of my friends. And I used to have debate also with other pastors in other churches before when I was a little boy. You know, I enjoyed giving Bible studies with people. So the concern is that the one who had the person who asked this question is, he said, lost a child and a niece that died at 8 and 17 years old.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not really sure if this 8 years old already understand the Bible or he or she knows already what's wrong and what is right.
Mm-hmm.
But this is the answer. The next verse in Acts chapter 17, verse 30.
And we read,
mm-hmm.
At the times of this ignorance, God winked at, but now commandeth all men everywhere to repent.
Yes. Look at this. In times of ignorance, God overlooked. In other translation, God winked his eyes. It's like, it's okay, Pastor. You know, that guy really doesn't have, you know, the mind is not really right. So, and then the guy tried to give me signal using his eyes, winking his eyes, something like that. In other words, wink his eyes. And it means, it's okay, Pastor. Let's understand this guy.
Mm-hmm.
So here, the situation is that God said, this time, in the time of ignorance, the Bible said, God overlook. God understand, in other translation. But now, commands all men everywhere to repent. If the little children, or maybe the young people, the 7 years old, or 8 years old, 10 years old, 20, or whatever, already understood the scripture, they know already what is right and what is wrong. Okay, according to the Bible, now I'm commanding all of them to repent.
Yes.
If the little children, the baby, doesn't know what is wrong, what is right yet, in other words, you don't need to worry about them because the kingdom of heaven belongs to them.
Amen. Amen. Thank you for answering that question, Pastor. You know, you're right. When we have to worry about ourselves, and we got to worry about our teenagers. You know, we got to show them the way and always guide them. You know, yes.
Don't worry about the little children, yes, the baby, because right. Automatic the kingdom of God belongs to them.
Amen. Well, that is our break. I'm going to stop this real quick. This is our break song. We're going into a short break. You can call in your question and we'll answer it the following Monday at 671-472-1111 on Guam, and then the CNMI 670-323-1113. You can text on WhatsApp in your question, 671-686-9999. We're streaming live on Facebook. Leave a comment in the comment section and we'll answer it the following Monday. You can listen live online, joyfmradio.net. We'll be right back.
The Cornwall Record Office in Cornwall, England, compiled a long list of odd names found in their records dating back to the 16th century. Here are some of the names they came up with.
Dorothy Freak. Philadelphia Bunnyface. Edward Evil. Fawcett Bonds. Truth Bullock. Charity Chili. Gentle Fudge. Obedience Ginger. Offspring Gurney. Priscilla Skin. Charles Swine. Jane Ham. Anne Veal. John Mutton. Richard Dinner.
Well, no matter what your name is, even if it's a little out of the norm, God knows your name. It's hard to believe that no matter where you are in life, what your name is, or what you've done, God knows all about it. And the amazing thing is, He's still calling out your name to follow Him. He is pursuing you with an amazing love. The Bible says He knew all about you before you were even born. Sometimes we think we're too weird or too bad for God to want us, but the Bible says He really loves us anyway. So no matter how weird you think you are, He's still calling out your name, even if it is
Levi Jeans.
From Joy FM.
When we hear portion control, we either embrace it like a lost friend or make fun of it. We'll indulge in even good things, only to find that somehow we blew it. Too much of most things is simply too much. One cookie may be fine, but 12 might give our stomachs a roller coaster ride. Learning when to say enough is what the Bible calls self-control. It's always been God's idea. Joy FM, family-friendly radio.
Welcome back to the second half of Straight from the Bible. Call right now with your Bible question. In Guam, it's 472-1111. In the CNMI, it's 323-1113. You can email your questions anytime to bible@joyfmradio.net, submit them online at joyfmradio.net, or message us on Facebook at facebook.com/joyfmradio. Join us now for the second half of Straight from the Bible.
Hafaday, and welcome back to the second half of Straight from the Bible. We are answering questions now. Pastor Mar is answering the questions that you have submitted. And we're going to move on to our next question.
Sure.
Okay. Please help me understand why there was darkness before Jesus died and the veil of the temple torn in two. Luke chapter 23, verses 44 through 45.
Yeah, the Bible doesn't have a very specific word-for-word answer for that, but some of the theologians, you know, give their commentary about that. Some said that darkness covered the entire land for about 3 hours in the middle of the day. All nature seemed to mourn over the stark tragedy of the death of God's Son, our Savior Jesus Christ. So this significant event symbolized Christ's work on the cross. The temple had three parts: the courts for all the people, and the holy place where only priests could enter, and the most holy place where the high priest alone could enter once a year to atone for the sins of the people. It was in the most holy place that the Ark of the Covenant and God's presence with it rested. So the curtain that was torn was the one that closed off the most holy place from view. At Christ's death, the barrier between God and humanity was split in two. Now all people can approach God directly through Christ. So those are the explanation of some of the theologians. That's the reason why it says there was darkness, because the entire nature, the entire earth was so lonely, and the God, the Father, His own Father, really, forsaken Him. Remember, that's the part of the prayer of Jesus: Father, why have you forsaken me? Because that's really the hardest part in the ministry of Jesus, to be totally separated from the Father. Yes, and that's why there was total darkness in there. Another commentary said that all the angels in heaven were there, you know, in the form of cloud. That's why there was total, really dark. Mm-hmm. So watching Jesus, they were there, but some also said that's the total and the hardest part in the ministry of Jesus, to totally be separated from the Father. But the good news is that for me is that when the curtain separated into two, it indicates that we can have this direct connection with Jesus, directly be connected with Jesus. We don't need a priest, you know, to bring us to the place. So we can just have the access. We can have this access directly to Jesus. You know, that's really good news. So the good thing one. Yeah, it's not easy, in the part of Jesus. And that's why let this experience of Jesus, what He did on the cross, will bring us closer to Him, motivates our heart to open our hearts for Jesus. In other words, and because of this, there's no way for us to say no for Jesus.
That's right. Yes. You know, Pastor, my wife told me that there's a direct line for Jesus. Mm-hmm. And it's in Jeremiah chapter 33, verse number 3. Uh-huh. And it reads, "Call unto me and I will answer thee.
Yes.
Yes, I love that.
You know, mm-hmm. Because after this one, we can have direct access to Jesus.
Yes.
I love this.
I do too. Mm-hmm. Thank you for answering that question, Pastor. We're moving on to the next one. And this is on cremation. Is it good for a Christian to get cremated? Nice question.
For cremation?
Yes.
Actually, if the person is asking about the concern of his or her salvation, mm-hmm. I'm not really sure about what's really the purpose of the question, mm-hmm. but probably in their mind is that, does cremation affect my salvation? Probably something like
yes.
that.
Oh, yes.
Probably. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You know, for me, the most important is really to have Jesus.
That's right.
It doesn't matter if I'm cremated or not. You know, if they're going to throw me in the ocean or bury me or cremate me, I don't care. Mm. What the most important for me is to have Jesus. As John chapter 3 verse 16 said, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life."
Amen.
Now, the most important for me is to have Jesus.
Yes.
I don't care if I'll be cremated or not.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. So it doesn't matter if the dead be cremated or not.
Mm-hmm.
The most important is the dead person accepted Jesus before he died.
That's uh-huh. right. Yes. And Jesus will find you when he comes to take us home. Yes. Good answer, Pastor. Great question. We're moving on to the next one. Our next question is, what does one have to do to get baptized?
What does one have to do to get baptized? By the way, the Bible is really give the very direct answer. The first one in Mark chapter 16, verses 15 to 16. Can you please read it for me?
Yes, I can. That's Mark chapter
16, verses 15 to 16.
Okay.
Verses, two verses. Yeah.
Verses 15 through 16, correct? Mm-hmm. 15 through 16, and I'm reading from the King James Version.
Okay.
And verse 15, "And he said unto them, Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Verse 16, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned."
Okay. The first one in verse 15 says, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel." In other words, the person must hear the gospel first.
Mm.
Because the gospel is Jesus.
Yes.
The good news about Jesus, his promises that he is coming back, he's going back to heaven to prepare a place for us and coming back.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the good news that he died for us and then he resurrected and then he conquered death. He went back to heaven and prepared a place for us and he's coming back. That's the gospel. That's the good news.
Mm, yes.
And then after you hear the good news, the gospel, according to verse 16, he who believes. In other words, to believe is really a requirement.
Mm.
Because we can't baptize somebody if the person doesn't believe.
Mm.
You really need to accept the message. You need to believe, internalize, put it in your heart, and say to Jesus, "Jesus, I believe your promises. I believe you. I accepted you as my personal Savior and Lord." And then after that, you are qualified to be baptized and then be saved. And then in another verse, in Acts chapter 2, verses 37 to 38, can you please read it for me?
Yes, I can. I'm going to Acts chapter
2, verses 37 to 38.
37 through 38. Verse 37. "Now when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart,
mm-hmm.
and they said unto Peter and the rest of the apostles, Men and brethren, what shall we do?"
Mm-hmm.
"Then Peter said unto them, Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost."
Yeah, look at this one. This verse is really related also to Mark chapter 16, verses 15 to 16. Because in verse 37 it says, "Now when they heard," in other words, there is preaching of the gospel. Because they heard something.
Mm-hmm.
So the disciples preached the gospel, and the people heard the gospel. And then they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the disciples, the apostles, after they heard the gospel about Jesus,
mm-hmm.
that Jesus is the Savior, our God, you know, the Creator, the one who died on the cross for them, the one who promised to come back, you know, to bring us home,
mm-hmm.
the people said, "What shall we do now? What's next?"
Right.
And then the disciple said, Peter said, "You know, repent. What does it mean? Repent is the turning away from sin."
Mm.
The about face. In other words, if the direction of your life is going to distractions, to the left, it means we need to have a different direction, movement of your life.
Mm.
Instead of going to the left, you need to move to the right. That's repentance. Okay, that's the instruction of Peter. Repent and let every one of you be baptized. In other words, repentance is requirements before the person to be to be baptized.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Preaching of the gospel. You need to accept the gospel,
mm-hmm.
believe, repent, and then be baptized.
Amen. Oh. Nice. Nice. And if the listener needs a Bible study, we have Bible studies here too. All they got to do is just call Joy FM.
Yes. Yes. Mm-hmm. Call the Joy FM and we are happy to visit you guys if you want to visit.
Yes.
If you want prayer, we are happy to provide prayer on the phone. If you want us to come to your house, let us know. Mm-hmm. And we're happy to visit you and bring the gospel to your house, to your home.
Amen. We're moving on to the last question for today. We got one more left, and what I'm going to do is I'm going to try to find it. Okay, so I go here and click on that here. Okay, let me see. Our last question for this evening is, okay, Jeremiah chapter 33, verse number 3. Call to me, and I will answer you and tell you great and unsearchable things you do not know. When God said this in his time, or back in the daytime, is it still applicable in our time?
Of course. It's always applicable. God's word is always applicable. By the way, this is related also to Jeremiah chapter 29, verses 13 to 14. And even in verse 12, you can read that. Start, Jeremiah chapter 29.
Yes, Jeremiah.
Chapter 29.
29, okay.
12 to 14.
12 to 14. Let me pull it up here.
Mm.
All right, here we go. Jeremiah, what chapter again? I'm sorry.
Chapter 29.
29, and then verses?
12 to 14.
12 through 14. I'm going to read it. Be astonished, all ye heavens, at this, and be horribly afraid. Be ye very desolate, saith the Lord, for my people have committed two evils.
Is that in this is not, chapter 29?
Yeah, this is not chapter 29. Sorry about that.
29.
Let me. The 9 wasn't even there, just the 2 only. Here we go. Jeremiah 29, verse number 12. Then shall ye call upon me, mm-hmm. and ye shall go and pray unto me, mm-hmm. and I will hearken unto you.
Mm-hmm.
And ye shall seek me and find me when ye shall search me with all your heart.
Look at that. The condition is if you're going to search God
mm-hmm.
with all your heart.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. So that's when it's related to the question in Jeremiah chapter 33, verse 3. Call to me and I will answer you and tell you great and unsearchable things you do not know.
Amen.
See, if you're going to call him from the bottom of your
mm-hmm.
Yes, it's still applicable.
Still applicable into our lives, right?
Yes.
You know, a funny thing happened when I was reading the Bible. I read Psalms first,
mm-hmm.
and all those prayers and all the meditation that David was writing down and what was happening to him,
mm-hmm.
it reflected. It hit me in the heart.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I started crying. I started getting on my knees. Save me, Lord.
Mm-hmm.
I started calling out to him and doing all the, Lord, you know, I need to be saved.
Yes.
You know, that's what the Bible does.
The Lord is always willing to answer and do his part because that's the desire of God.
Yes.
To save all of us.
Amen. All right. Do we have time for one more?
Sure.
Okay. This is on what is the meaning of Isaiah chapter 9 verses 1 through 7.
Isaiah
chapter 9 verse 1 through 7.
Isaiah chapter 9?
Yes, verse 1 through 7.
9 1 to 7. Okay. Would you like to read it?
Yes, I will. Okay. Starting with verse 1. Nevertheless, the dimness shall not be such as was in her vexation. When at the first he lightly afflicted the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, and after did more grievous afflict her by the way of the sea beyond Jordan and Galilee of the nations. The people that walked in darkness have seen a great light, that they dwell in the land of the shadow of death. Upon them hath the light shined. Thou hast multiplied the nation and not increased the joy. They joy before thee according to the joy in harvest, and as men rejoice when they divided the spoil. Verse number 4. For thou hast broken the yoke of his burden and the staff of his shoulder, the rod of his oppressor, as in the day of Midian. For every battle of the warriors was confused, noise and garments rolled in blood. But this shall be with burning and fuel of fire. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. And verse number 7, of the increase of his government and peace there shall be no end upon the throne of David, and upon his kingdom to order it, and to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth, even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this.
Wow. Actually,
Isaiah chapter 9, verse 1 through 7.
The verse 6 is one of my most favorite verse in the Bible.
Yes.
But yeah, let me explain a little bit the context of the verses 1 to 7. You know, this child is talking about Jesus, who would become the deliverer of the Israel, is the Messiah. Okay? The Messiah, Jesus. Even Matthew quotes these verses in describing Christ's ministry in Matthew chapter 4, verses 15 to 16. The territories of Zebulun and Naphtali represent the northern kingdom as a whole, and these were also the territories where Jesus grew up and often ministered. And this is why they would see a great light in there. In our gloom and despair. Now let me share with you the devotional or the message on this chapter as to summarize the point. In our gloom and despair, we fear that our sorrows and troubles will never end, as this Israel experienced during their time. But we can take comfort in this certainty. Although the Lord may not always spare us from trouble like what we experience every day, I experience the same. Sometimes I prayed, but troubles really hits my life. You know, You know, if we follow him wholeheartedly, he will lead us safely through them. You know why? Because Jesus is always there. The verse 6 is the best promise to each one of us. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder, and his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and Prince of Peace. In other words, in the midst of these troubled experiences, life, still we can have peace because Jesus is with us, the source and the author of peace.
Amen. I like that, Pastor. The source and the author of peace. Jesus.
Yes.
Jesus is our answer for anything that we have in life.
Mm-hmm.
Nice. Well, thank you for answering those questions, Pastor. We are out of time. Thank you for the questions, and thank you for coming on for Straight from the Bible. Would you like to pray for us before we go, Pastor?
Yes, shall we pray? Father God and Heavenly Father, we thank you so much, Lord, for this wonderful opportunity that you have given to us to be refreshed by your words, O God and Father. Wherever we are, let your powerful hands, your wonderful embrace be upon us. And thank you so much for sending your Holy Spirit to be in us, to guide us, to lead us, and your holy angels to continually protect us from any possible harms and dangers. Thank you, Father, for your love. Thank you, Jesus, for your grace. And thank you so much, Holy Spirit, for your everlasting presence in us. All these things we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. I'm Scott Losanco and Pastor Mar Loren saying God bless you and good night.
Thanks for joining us for another edition of Straight from the Bible. If you missed out on your question and would like to have it aired next time, you can also email us anytime at bible@joyfmradio.net. Submit them at online@joyfmradio.net or message us on Facebook at facebook.com/joyfmradio. Join us again next time for another edition of Straight from the Bible. Until then, may God bless you as you study His holy word, the Bible.